T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I just wanted to say this is the greatest show that Kansas City's ever had.
It's too hard to sleep. I got the sheets on the floor, nothing on me. And I can't take it no more, it's 100 degrees.
Not only will this Olympics be a year delayed, but just the stories coming out, man. Like we were talking about the Polish... What team was that? The swim team had to send six back.
We've been looking into this over the break. How the hell does this happen?
Bad math. This one from CNN. Becca Myers, a deaf and blind American swimmer, has withdrawn from the Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games after she said the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee denied her request to bring her mother over to serve as her personal care assistant. She is blind and deaf.
Blind and deaf, and they won't let her bring her assistant.
She wrote in a statement, her assistant happened to be her mom, I have had to make the gut-wrenching decision to withdraw from Tokyo 2020 Paralympics. I am angry, I am disappointed, but most of all, I am sad. Myers wrote that her mother has acted as her personal care assistant at all of her international meets since 2017, but due to COVID-19 restrictions, the U.S. Olympic Committee refused her request for her mother to serve in that capacity in Tokyo.
Unbelievable. They are calling what happened in Poland an unprecedented event. The original swim team was made up of 23 members who were told, you're in. You can go. You're in. Okay? The actions of the association led to an unprecedented event in the history of Polish sport when the athletes arrived and were told, why do you have 23 people here? The rules say you can only have 17. So on the fly, they had to look around and choose six to kick out of Tokyo and back to Poland. Quoting here from an open letter from the now non-Olympic competing Polish swimmers. Several of us have had to come back because of this neglect, and our dream of becoming Olympians has been stolen from us. In addition, Polish swimming, both in the eyes of the public and potential sponsors, has now been exposed as a laughingstock and will have a glaring effect on all competitors who compete in the white and red colors on a daily basis. Now, I'm actually friends with a former Olympian, silver medalist, and I was texting with her back and forth about this today. I said, how does this happen? Like with gymnastics, Scott, you take six. Everyone knows that. You get six.
But you get some alternates, too.
And a couple of alternates.
The one who came home or is headed home.
Well, and I think the other one's in quarantine from Kansas City now. Okay. So I'm guessing with track, you get a certain number. With, you know, these rules are etched in stone, and everyone knows the rules. And quite frankly, I would think even the athletes know. Like, so if you're in gymnastics, you know they're taking six.
Right.
That's how it works. If you're in track, you know they're taking...
You get six starters.
You get however many you get.
Well, you train that entire time trying to be one of those
six. Trying to get one of those slots. Yeah. And so I don't know in the beginning if they screwed up like, you know, 4 years ago and said, hey, we got 23.
Poland got a waiver.
And we don't know why. We get to take more. And so everyone is working to make one of these slots. And no one says in the last 4 years, Hey, did somebody check the bylaws? 23 sounds high to me.
When we were in Rio, we only had 17.
I mean, and now we have 23. One or two makes it's, a little
I mean,
bit
it's
sense.
Not funny, but it's funny.
When does it start? Like 2 weeks or something, or next week?
I'm excited. I'm not going to lie.
Within like 72 hours, I do believe, and it's still up in the air on whether or not it will actually happen.
Oh, stop it.
No, they said there's a chance that they might have to call it off. But
listen,
this
man,
close to the opening ceremony? What?
Excuse me. Captain Logical's coming in for the discussion for a second.
Yeah.
At this point, you just go ahead and have the damned Olympics.
I would agree.
Oh, yeah. With everybody already over there?
If people get sick, then so be it. People are going to get sick. Hope you don't die. But at this point, you've got to have the Olympics. It is bordering on ridiculous. And I don't see Japan getting it back anytime soon.
Well, if anything, they at least need to start the games. And if it gets out of control, call it off.
Why?
But, well,
I mean, they
because
can't be
Scott,
having a super spreader event going
well,
on.
Well, but it's already a super spreader event with Delta. I don't know how they're going to prevent it.
Well, I would assume most, I would hope, most of the athletes have been vaccinated, right? One would think.
It is my understanding with the alternates from Kansas City that were the two alternate gymnasts, one of them tested positive and was vaccinated. And I believe the second athlete who is in quarantine now, they're just monitoring her. I believe she was not vaccinated, is what I read.
Okay.
And we don't know on ages and stuff. I mean, I don't know anything.
Well, the one that is in isolation that did test positive is Kara Eaker, and she is fully vaccinated.
That's right.
Correct. So. From Kansas City, yeah. From the text line 1687, I'm sorry, guys, but it's especially funny because it's Poland. I know.
Stop it.
You want to hear a Polak joke?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't, because that would be insensitive and awful.
Mm.
But they are even acknowledging this, Scott, that we are now a laughingstock.
Well, no, the athletes who got sent home who have a beef and an axe to grind with their team now say that the team is a laughingstock.
Well, I'm not saying
you know why
team,
you're saying that? Because you're not on the team
no,
anymore.
No, I'm not saying the team is a laughingstock, but whatever infrastructure they have in place to oversee Olympics over there,
yeah.
Clearly...
somebody's out of a job.
So, you think?
Somebody has an accounting problem.
That's not even an accounting problem, Scott. If you said to me, where did the millions go to get them on transportation to the airport?
No, not an accounting, a counting problem.
Oh, accounting? You said accounting. I'm like, this is way simpler than accounting.
Yeah, they got lost.
I suck
14,
at accounting,
and
I know the difference between 17 and 23. We're short.
Now, here's the best part. If in about a week or so, they realized that they were actually supposed to have 23, and they sent six back. And they're still...
Listen
Tom,
to this.
We're going to need you to fill in over here. We didn't mean to send him back.
From one of the athletes, imagine dedicating 5 years of your life and striving for another start at the most important sporting event, giving up your private life and work, sacrificing your family and your dedication, and it results in a total flop.
Mm. A belly flop?
The Swimming Federation has issued an apology. I express great regret, sadness, and bitterness about the situation. It should not take place. The reaction of the swimmers, their emotions, the attack on the Polish Swimming Federation is understandable to me and justified.
Who said that?
The head of their Olympic
Good.
Committee person.
Good. He's taking
he noted the motive behind sending the 23 swimmers inadvertently was, quote, a desire to allow as many players and coaches as possible to take part in the games. Think about that, Scott. A desire to let as many players and coaches as possible take part in the games.
Well, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. You know, let's say... you are a track and field powerhouse and you crank out Olympians. Sure, you want to send 50 sprinters to the Olympics. You only get to send 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just confirmed this, by the way. Will Sterrett will be joining us tomorrow at 3:45.
Yes, please.
For a quick round of jam or no jam. That'll be at 3:45 tomorrow afternoon. We'll do some jam or no jam with Will Sterrett from Kansas City's Morning News. When we get back, Independence Police have settled for this amount after a police officer punched a man during an arrest. He was the suspect.
Are you not allowed to do that?
They were trying to handcuff him. We'll get to that in just a moment. 576-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Welcome back. Story here from the Kansas City Star. The City of Independence recently paid out more than $82,000 in a legal settlement after a police officer punched a man twice during an arrest last year outside of a grocery store. The incident was captured on surveillance video after a man entered the Price Chopper at 4201 South Nolan Road on February 1st, 2020. Told a manager there that someone was trying to kill him. The manager called police to report a disturbance. After two police officers responded and the man exited the store, the officers had an altercation with the man. One officer, David Wellerman, struck the man twice during the arrest. The man was cited for interference, but the city later paid out the settlement before any lawsuit was filed. The Star is not naming the man in this story because he was experiencing a mental health crisis and was allegedly the victim of police brutality. Policing and accountability experts said punching someone in the face to gain control of them during an arrest was generally not appropriate and questioned whether the officer's report on the events was accurate. Independence Police did not respond. Neither did the mayor.
This was a mental health call.
Turns out it was, yeah, because he had gone into the store, said people were trying to kill him or somebody was trying to kill him. I'm assuming the manager, and this is just an assumption on my part, assuming the manager hearing this was like, yeah, this guy's not right.
What's going on here?
We're going to need some help over here. According to the police narrative, the two officers were called to the store after the man said people were trying to kill him. A second video shows the man leave the back room with the two officers. The three exit out the main doors of the store. A third video shows them outside near the corner of the store as Officer Wellerman jabs his finger towards the man and then grabs him. A scuffle starts and Wellerman punches the man. The officer appears to throw two strikes. The first targeted the man's chest, the second his face.
So, yep, there it is.
So he wasn't robbing the store. There's no indication that he was committing a crime. He was just having a mental crisis.
This is why, and I'm working to get somebody from Denver on our program, Scott. Do you know in Denver, all calls for mental health, they've got this pilot program there, mm-hmm. have started going, you know, you can call 911, but dispatch then routes these calls to a licensed mental health professional.
Okay.
And one of the things I reached out and asked, because you know Jeremy Hubbard is in, J-Hub is in Denver, who worked at Channel 9 for years. I said, can you please put us in contact with someone who is in charge with this pilot program? And he did. And one of the things I asked was, how does it work? How has it been working? Has anyone been shot? Because that's a big fear that if you start sending, you know, mental health workers to scenes like this, could they be in danger? Not one backup call for police was requested. Out of the, let's say there's 2,000 calls in the last year, not one. And that's not to say bad things can't happen.
Sure.
But I truly believe our police officers have enough on their plates. They are not licensed mental health professionals.
And probably don't want to deal with it.
And 100%, I'm guessing, don't want to deal with it. And we have things like that CIT training where there is training. And I'm almost positive Independence has their officers go through that training. And Kansas City, Missouri has their officers. I know Raytown does. Where there is this training to de-escalate when it, say, is an adult with autism, Scott, with sensory issues.
CIT training, crisis intervention.
Yes. And I think that that's helpful, but I also don't think it's the answer. I think the answer is moving those calls to licensed mental health counselors. You don't want to put somebody like this in jail. This person needs services. They need. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't shoot anybody.
Actually, didn't commit a crime, really.
This is not. And I'm trying to remember what the story was the other day where this guy was like, well, we need to show him mercy. I was the idiot that shot up the school and the officers in Prairie Village. Once you start firing, right, You're going to jail.
Yeah.
But this is different. At this point, when someone is just calling and obviously this guy is in crisis, move those calls outside of the purview of the police department. So they just agreed to settle this for $82,000 before there was ever a lawsuit filed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Get ahead of it.
Think about all of the cases where something like this happens and all of the money paid out to families when something like this happens. All of the deaths across the country that probably could have been prevented if it was somebody trained to de-escalate in mental health issues. Take all of that money, put it in a separate pot, and that's what we use to pay the mental health professionals. Let police do what they do, and that solve crimes.
Or maintain order, yeah.
Or maintain order, and I just really, really think we need to take a look at that program in Denver.
576-7798 if you want to be part of the program. The police in Independence have settled for $82,000. An officer is on video. I did watch the video. He does strike this guy, who's unnamed, and he does strike him twice. He was apparently, according to this story in the Star, having a mental health crisis, went into the Price Chopper on Nolan Road, said people were trying to kill him. Now, what that crisis was, I don't know. 576-7798. If you would like to be part of the program, we will get to your calls, your comments, and Dana brings up an interesting point. Have we exhausted the time when police start showing up for, hey, we got a guy here at the Price Chopper and he thinks people are out to kill him. All right, we'll send a squad car over there. No.
It's not a police function. And here's what's important, Scott. It was never meant to be a police function. Right. Kind of like our teachers. We ask them to do way more with way less than was ever the intention. And so why not take another look at how we could better handle these calls? I think everyone would be happier.
576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment after a quick check of the news. 576-7798.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Drama. All right, welcome back to the things that bring the trauma overseas. Yeah, we trying to stop. Somebody writes in, the big underlying issue is the lack of available mental health resources in our community.
Amen. Amen.
Try getting an appointment. Even with insurance, you have a six-month wait. Now, I'm assuming there's a difference between what this person is writing about and maybe getting an appointment with a psychologist or a psychiatrist.
No. Let me tell you this. So one of the problems is access. So let's say, like in Denver, they send mental health professionals instead of police, okay? And this person is in crisis. If it's my understanding, if you are not in immediate danger of hurting yourself or someone else, it is very hard, Scott, to get an adult into some type of treatment program for mental health. Where do you even take them around here?
We're talking about people who are in immediate need, not somebody who's has anxiety or struggling with, you know,
like
if you have
anxiety or situational depression, or you know, like me, you just want to go get your head cleaned out, you know, once a month or something.
That's not
you
that
can
difficult.
Find that anywhere.
Right.
I mean, a much higher level of mental health crisis care. Where are you supposed to go? Anyone will tell you who struggled with this with an adult relative. You can't just commit them. They have to almost want help. And one of the problems with disorders like schizophrenia and the like is that they often don't think there's anything wrong.
Well, do you want people involuntarily committed?
No.
But...
And even if we did, where would that be?
Well, I mean, they've closed
down. We don't even have those places anymore.
No, we don't. I mean, the most... recent one, or at least the closest one, would have been the mental health hospital in Osawatomie down in Miami County.
Yeah.
It's closed. 576. But let me ask this. Weren't those facilities basically just where we put the people we didn't want to deal with because we thought they were crazy anyway?
Yep.
Let's just put them inside the walls.
Which I don't think is an answer either.
They're not going to hurt anybody in there, maybe.
Keep
we
them
hope.
Medicated, you know, yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. I don't think that's the answer either. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think it's sending police with handcuffs to someone who thinks that someone's trying to kill them.
576-7798. Let's go to Bill in Overland Park. Hello, Bill.
How are you all?
We're doing quite well. Thank you for asking, my friend.
I love the show and the topic. And being in law enforcement, yes, we don't want anything to do with that, but Dana had a good point. We got to come up with some money. There's no money in mental health. There's no land grab or money grab for mental health. But what they're doing now, they're building new jails, but they're not building any facilities for mental health. So what we do is we toss them in with a bunch of people and find out later that, you know, that they're not doing well. There's not enough medication. No one wants to address it. You know,
they put the
homeless in hotels because there's federal funding coming in. There's no money for mental health, and I promise you guys, we're as compassionate as we can be, and I tell my officers the same thing. But you know what? At some point, these people are just super strong, and they're super, super out of control. And I feel terrible because, you know what, I feel like we're back in the Osawatomie days when you hit the neighbor over there and nobody ever knew where she went. We still don't want to address the situation.
And Bill, when you say there's no money in mental health, could there be? And if so, what would that model look like?
Taxes.
Well, I mean, it would have to be something like Scott just said. But the thing about it is they've got to come off some federal funds and they've got to find facilities to put these people in. I'm telling you, I deal with some people that are not fit to be in society. And you know, they hurt officers. They hurt.
Yeah.
These people are dangerous. And if you think evil doesn't exist, it certainly does. But at the same time, if some of these people could get the right medications, the right doctors, and the right help by putting a fund together like you talked about, so these people would have access to the professional. And you're also right, CIT is a good start, but it's not enough. Medical professional.
And Bill, I'm sure you would say this, try getting someone who's paranoid to go with a government agent to put them in a mental health facility. Just try that.
Yeah, but I think at some point that the involuntary has to be done. If you have so many contacts with police or, you know, family members, at some point there's got to be some relief. Because believe me, those family members are suffering too.
Oh, God, they are.
I agree, but who makes that decision that you are...
A judge.
I would say, Scott, the answer to your question is it has to go in front of a judge, and somebody has to have power of attorney over some of these people. And I get it, it's not a broad brush for everybody, but there are some seriously mental ill people in this city as we speak.
No, I believe that, Bill. I believe every word that just came out of your mouth. I'm just, I get a little bit nervous. And I think you could understand when the government starts determining that you are no longer fit to be around other people and you have committed no crime.
I concur. I mean, it's a catch-22.
Yep.
But guys, it's embarrassing for all Americans that we're dealing with this crisis. Nobody wants to touch it because there's no money to be had in it.
Well, Bill, thank you for the call. Now I'm going to throw some numbers at you because there's a news story out from NPR that says the six-month experiment replacing Denver police with mental health teams dubbed a success. A Denver City Council member who supports, I'm going to call it moving some money from police. I don't like the word defunding police. Weighs the new success of replacing police function with mental health teams. 6 months in, the team has responded to 750 calls without one arrest. 750 mental health calls without one arrest. And city leaders are poised to expand the program in a big way with an infusion of tax dollars.
576-7798. John in Kansas City. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
So a couple of issues. Number one, I work in the medical field, and not everybody's trained to recognize when somebody's got a mental health and they don't.
Sure.
Number two, the people on the phone can't. It's hard to tell on the phone, God forbid, even in person.
Yeah.
And can you imagine a world where somebody went into a place and said, I need help because somebody tried to hurt me, and you called a mental health person when somebody was actually trying to hurt them and they got hurt? Imagine that lawsuit.
I agree, but...
And you called for the police and the police no-showed? That's criminal in and of itself.
I agree, John, but there are cases where police could be called for backup, certainly if there's a weapon involved or something of that nature. But it says something to me that 750 calls went out in Denver, not one arrest was made, and police were never called for backup.
Well, I didn't hear you say that. You said that no arrests were made. It didn't say anything about police were never called.
But police were not called for backup, according to my friend who works in Denver and has been covering this story. They have not been called for backup. That's not to say that they can't be called. They just weren't called. And some of these cases, John, are a homeless man who is delusional, who really just needs a pair of shoes because he's walking around without shoes on.
Sure.
That's not a police function, nor was it ever meant to be a police function to me.
I agree with you on that.
Certainly, but somebody coming into a store saying, I need help, somebody's trying to hurt me, how do you know if they're mental health or if they really need help? Who's
That's
making
true.
That determination?
That's
Who's
true.
Making that decision?
Well,
right,
okay, thank you, John. I would make the argument that it was probably the store manager who made that assumption. And you can, let's be honest, somebody comes into a store and says, listen, general manager, I need somebody to come here. There are people who are outside and they're trying to kill me. Okay. You sound like you've got everything together. I'm going to call the police. But you can tell sometimes when you're talking to somebody who is having a mental crisis.
Sure.
For example, I had a customer one time at the other place that I work who was screaming George W. Bush at the top of his lungs over and over again. And I don't think...
Who was the president at the time?
George W. Bush was standing outside. This was a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. So George W. Bush was probably not outside.
No,
and he hasn't
so.
Been the president in a long time.
Yes, he was having some sort of issue.
Yeah. And in that case, that would not be a situation necessarily where the police need to get involved.
No, definitely not. He wasn't causing any problems other than the fact that he was screaming at the
do?
Top of his lungs. I asked him if he could please leave, and then he left on his own.
He said, George Bush is right down the street. Ask for Scott Parks.
He was screaming it at the top of his lungs, and I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Was
man.
He right. just screaming his name, or?
Just George W. Bush over and
George
over
George W. Bush!
And he sure
yep.
wasn't H.W.
Nope, he was
it
just
was
saying
just W.
Just W. Yep.
Okay. Cooper, really want to hear your story. If you can hang tight, Brian and the others, we'll get to everybody before the top of the hour. Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III here on KMBZ. We'll be right back. We're talking about the settlement that Independence came to, $82,000 to a man who was hit in the face and in the chest by a police officer while he was being cuffed. The man was going through a mental health crisis, apparently. And there was some bit of a confrontation trying to get the handcuffs on him. Yeah, by the way, it's not clear if he was cited for interference. I don't even know what that means. He had gone into a Price Chopper and told the manager there that people were trying to kill him. Manager called authorities and said, you guys might want to come on out. And they did. There were no people trying to kill him. You know what I'm talking about. The city settled for $82,000 before he even had a chance to file a lawsuit.
The city of Denver is not the only one with this pilot program, moving mental health calls over to mental health professionals. And I realize, because I've had some police officers text me about this, that there are police departments who have a mental health professional in the building, okay, and they can go along on some of the calls, and I think that's helped. Denver took it one step further and just removed this as a police function. And Eugene, Oregon, did something similar with similar positive results.
576-7798. Let's go to Lawrence and bring in Cooper. Hello, Cooper.
Hi, first time caller. Love you guys' show.
Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
I was going to, real quick, I wanted to say first regarding that gentleman and that lawsuit. While he was saying that someone was out there trying to kill him, while others might think, you know what, he's crazy, but to some of these people with behavior issues, in their mind, it's real.
Yes.
It's very real. I have a daughter who's 18. She has the hormones of 18-year-old. She's emotionally about a 2-year-old and academically about a 6th grader, maybe 5th. And she's constantly having issues. One of the issues was bed availability. There's such a shortage for those, for people needing them. Another one is insurance. Insurance refuses to pay after so long, and they just throw them out. And my daughter's instance, and the hardest thing I ever had to do as a mom, you know, I lost one child, but then to have to put her in placement was such a difficult thing to do. I mean, she was only 5 years old, but it was based on, you know, 4 different psychiatrists and 2 physicians, you know, saying that was going to be the best option for her. And she's been inpatient pretty much since. And the hardest thing is, you know, just being able to deal with that. And while they might not voluntarily, admit themselves, all the person has to do is say that they're a threat to themselves. That automatically gets them inpatient. That puts them automatically in the system. All they have to do is say those words.
And Cooper, she could not live by herself?
Oh, God, no.
No.
No, for Pete's sake, she has an Elmo, and she asked me the other day if I had Elmo myself.
If you had Elmo?
Yeah.
Bless her heart. And when you say inpatient, what did that journey look like for you? Because we're maybe under the mistaken impression that there's no place for people with this type of issue to go. But we hear it again and again from families.
Yeah, no, there is. Like her first placement was TLC up in Olathe, or rhymes with BLK, I guess.
Sure. You're fine.
Okay, that was the biggest mistake. It was a co-ed, and supposedly she was only going to be there for a couple of weeks, and she could come home, all of which never ended up happening. There were times where she was bit. She was spit on by peers. She had a black eye, just a really bad, bad situation. So I asked them, what would happen if I took her out of there? And they literally responded, they would file for custody. You know what? A week later, after I asked them what would happen, they filed for custody for her.
And were you relieved, Cooper, at that point? Or heartbroken?
No.
I'm trying to figure out.
You
would need help, though, would you not, Cooper?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had attorney after attorney after attorney, and I'm a single mom. I'm doing this all by myself. And just the emotions alone is enough to kill you and knock you on your feet and not want to get back up, let alone knowing that your child is in placement and you picture them in their room which is usually a mattress on the floor, and you just picture, as a parent, your child in there, and it tears at you, even though you know it's the best thing for you. I did end up getting her out of there. She went to a place in Wyandotte County. Then she was discharged from there because it wasn't working. Then she went to St. Mary's in Paola. Mm-hmm. She aged out, so she had to be kicked out. So now she's in a group home. But it is a daily, daily struggle. So when that gentleman was saying that someone's trying to kill him, he probably believed that. When my daughter gets wet and she's out of the shower and she dries off, she says, "No, I'm so wet. I'm so wet. I'm so wet." She's not wet, but in her mind,
she is.
In her world, she is soaking wet. And it's not controllable. The medicine doesn't help. She's been on so many different medications. I've done med washes, you know, while she's in facilities to try. I mean, there's, in my mind, it kills me that this child cannot get a happy life. In my mind, she deserves that.
All right, Cooper,
Cooper,
let me sum it up.
We are so sorry, and thank you for your honesty and your bravery telling that story, because we cannot imagine.
Quick break for the news. When we get back, the beach handball team from Norway is in trouble for what they didn't wear. They were a little bit more modest than the Olympics would prefer. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.